You know, it's something to know that God's not too busy to speak to His children, isn't it? You know, there's so many folks in the Church of Jesus Christ that have never heard the voice of God. There's so many of God's children that long and hunger to have God speak to them, never hear the voice of God. But I declare to you that if you open your heart to the Spirit of the living God, He'll speak to you. Not only in the supernatural way in which He's just spoken to His children today, but He'll speak to you with that still, small, quiet voice on the inside. Because God seeks to have communion with you and with me. He wants to talk with us and to share with us. If you haven't read the Song of Solomon recently, go back and read that. It won't take you long to read it. It's a love story where Jesus says unto you, "Come away with me, my beloved." Take that as a love letter from Jesus to you. Read that Song of Solomon. Well, praise the Lord. God's got something good for us today. Out of the book of Numbers, turn if you will to the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers, a very familiar story. I think that as we read this story, it'll be familiar to you. But I believe the Lord wants us to see something in the story today that maybe some of us haven't seen before. This is the story of the children of Israel sending the spies into the land of Canaan, spying out the land. We begin reading at the 17th verse. Numbers chapter 13, beginning to read at the 17th verse. "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. They returned after searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight.
Let us pray.
Father, we thank you for the message that you're going to bring out of this passage this morning. I thank you for the message, Father, that you've laid upon my heart. I thank you, Father, for the anointing of the Spirit of God that rests within me and rests within and upon your people that are here gathered. And I thank you, Father, that as your word goes forth and as the message goes forth, that you will bless it and anoint it and strengthen it, that it will go forth in truth, in power, and in clarity, that all who have ears to hear will be able to hear. And I thank you, Father, that the word as it goes forth will not return void, but it will prosper in the thing for which you have sent it forth, and it will accomplish the purpose for which you've intended. And I thank you, Father, for the blessing that you're going to bring upon each and every one of us here gathered as we feed upon the bread of life, upon the holy, inspired Word of God. In Jesus' name we give you thanks. Amen. Here we have the story of the children of Israel coming to the promised land, the land of Canaan. If you've been walking with the Lord for a while, you've probably heard numerous messages preached on this passage of Scripture. And there are many in this passage of Scripture wonderful lessons about God's way. You know, the Bible says that God's ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours, and His ways are not our ways. And as we study the Word of God, we ought to come to know the ways of God more perfectly and more fully and more clearly. Because as we come into the family of God, God also wants us to learn how to live and to walk like He does. He wants us to know what His ways are. He wants us to know what His thoughts are. Don't you that are parents want that for your children? Don't you want your children to understand the things the way you do? Don't you want your children to walk in the same ways that you do? So does our Heavenly Father. He wants us to understand His ways. So out of this passage of Scripture, there have been many messages proclaimed about the ways of God. But He showed me something this week in it that I have not seen before, something that really struck me. And first, I want to just bring you up to date as to what was really happening here and what had happened prior to this time to the children of Israel, so you can kind of set the scene. First of all, I want you to recall that this land of Canaan across the Jordan River had been given by God to Abraham and to his seed. In the 13th chapter of Genesis, in the 14th verse, the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise and walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. All right, this same piece of ground that the spies went in to spy out is land that many hundreds of years earlier God had given to Abram and to his seed. He said, I give it to you, and I give it to your seed forever. Sometime later, the children of Abraham went into bondage in Egypt, and after 400 years there, God delivered them out of that slavery and out of that bondage with many signs and wonders. And we all remember the story of the Exodus. Now God had sent the plagues upon Egypt in order to cause Pharaoh to set the children of Israel free. And the Bible says that with many signs and with many wonders did God miraculously deliver His people out of that bondage. As they traveled, you remember the story of the traveling in the wilderness and how when there was no water, God told Moses to strike a rock and the water came gushing out of the rock and God watered His people out of the rock. And when there was no food, God caused the bread of heaven to fall out of the skies, to rise up on the ground in the morning like the dew. And the manna from heaven supported and supplied the physical needs of the children of Israel. And even when there was difficulty, even when the enemies came against them, God fought their battles for them. He delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. He delivered them out of the army of the Amalekites in the wilderness. Time after time after time, God had performed wondrous deeds and great miracles in Egypt and in the wilderness to prove that he was God over his people. He led them during the day with a pillar of cloud. He led them at night with the pillar of fire. And God's presence was with them. Now, something I want you to understand about the children of Israel as they came up to the promised land. Sometimes we think they were just a little small band of folks. But if you'll read carefully the Old Testament passages, when Moses numbered the people in the first chapter of Numbers, they were numbered over 600,000 men of fighting age, 20 years of age and over. Over 600,000 able-bodied grown men, plus women and children. When these people came to the river, when they came up to the promised land and looked over, they were not just a bunch of scallywags. They were a nation of people about as big as the whole metropolitan area of Atlanta. You know what the population of Atlanta is now? It's something over 1.5 million people, around that figure. Now you imagine the whole city of Atlanta, you all included and me, coming up to this, to the promised land. Not just a small crowd, not just a little church, but a nation of people with 600,000 men of fighting age, able-bodied men. God had done a wonderful thing. They went into Egypt in bondage 400 years earlier, 70 people, Jacob and his family. But in those 400 years in slavery and bondage, and while they were treading out the bricks in the clay pits of Egypt, God multiplied them. And he multiplied their wealth as well as their physical number. And this was a multitude of people that had come to take the land that God had given them. Now, if you read the complementary story of this passage over in Deuteronomy in the first chapter, you'll see that Moses, as God's man, had said to the children of Israel, "Go ye into the land and possess it." God had given the land to Abraham. Moses now said, "Go ye up and possess it." God said also, "I will drive out the enemy from before you." All right, here we have a situation. God said, "I give you the land." Moses, as God's prophet said, "Go up and possess it." God said through Moses again, "Yes, there are enemies in the land, but I'm going to go before you and I'll drive them out." Now, this is the circumstance that precedes the passage of Scripture that we've just read. How did the children of Israel respond to that? They said, "Well, that sounds real good, Moses, but we're not so sure. We think maybe it would be smart if we would choose out some men and send them into the land and search it out. And just kind of check it out and make sure that everything's okay. Now, we know what God said to us, but we want to be absolutely sure that there aren't any hitches. We want to check all of the evidence, you see, that's over there in the land, and make sure that when we do cross that river, that there's not going to be somebody there, and maybe God forgot and go take our heads off." And so Moses chose 12 men, and he sent them into the land. And that's the story that we read before, that we read here just a few minutes ago. And after 40 days, they returned. And did you notice the report they brought back? They were all in agreement. Read there in the 27th verse. "And they told him," that is Moses, "and said, 'We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it.'" They all agreed. They all had one mind. Yes, it is a good land, just like God promised. As a matter of fact, it's so good, Moses, that you know this is the time of the first ripe grapes. So here we brought you back some of the fruit. We brought you some pomegranates and we brought you some figs, and here are the grapes. And up there in the 23rd verse, it says that they took one cluster of grapes. One cluster now of grapes. And it was so heavy that they had to put it between two men on a pole. And you see two men with a pole hanging between them, walking into the camp with one cluster of grapes hanging on it. Now that's the kind of a land that God gave his children. A land flowing with milk and honey, with grapes growing in it that one man couldn't carry, one cluster. That's the way God gives to his children. He gives unto not only to them, but unto you and unto me, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. A land that is prosperous and growing and giving, so that God's children will have all that they need plus more. Now they all agreed it was a good land. But when they got to the point about whether they could take it or not, there was some disagreement. There was some conflict. In verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." In another passage, we see that Joshua had the same confession and the same testimony as did Caleb. They both said, "We can go up and take it. We're able." But in verse 31, "But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they be stronger than we are." The majority report was negative. The majority reported that we're not able to take the land. The majority report was that the people that live in the land are too strong and it's impossible for us to take them. Only Caleb and Joshua said, "We be able to do it." That's interesting what the Bible says about that majority report. In verse 32, we're told, "And they brought up an evil report." The majority report was an evil report. The report that they brought was negative. It was an evil report. Caleb and Joshua brought the positive report, which was a good report. Now, what is the conflict here? This is what I want us to see. What really is the conflict that's taking place right here? It's a very simple one. Whether or not to believe God's word. The decision that these people had to make was, do we believe God's word or don't we? The conflict was whether God spoke the truth or whether he didn't. Are you going to believe the word of God or are you going to believe what you can see? Are you going to believe the word of God or are you going to believe the giants? Which will it be? Now Satan works in that area of the senses, doesn't he? He works in the realm of the circumstantial and the physical. He does not work in the area of the word of God. God works in that area. The devil works in the area of the physical evidence and the circumstantial evidence. Are we not daily in that same conflict? Are we not, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, daily caught up in that same conflict? Are we going to believe the word of God, or are we going to believe the circumstances? The people said when they came back, this really strikes me, verse 33, "There we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." They said, even in our own eyes, we were like grasshoppers. They were so big. What we could see with our natural eyes was that they're bigger than we are. What we could see with our physical senses is that we're like grasshoppers in their presence. But the word of God said, go up and possess it. Go up, I give it to you. Go up, I will drive out your enemies before you. But they said, we look like grasshoppers before our enemies. Now, how about this report that Caleb and Joshua brought back? It was a good report. It was a positive report. There are those in the Church of Jesus Christ today that would say that Jacob and Joshua and Caleb were stupid. That all of the evidence was against them. But were they stupid? Did they say that there weren't any giants in the land? They didn't say that, did they? They said, it doesn't matter that there are giants in the land. The Lord is with us. Fear not and be not discouraged, because God has said that He has given us the land. We're going up and possess it. We are able. Isn't that what He said? Now, He's not a stupid man. He didn't say the giants weren't there, but He said, God's with us and we're able. We can do it. We can do it. Just because the majority brings a report in does not make it right. God's people do not operate on the basis of the majority report, but on the basis of thus saith the Lord. Too many of God's churches are running today on the basis of the majority report. Well, we think that it's thus and so. But if it's truly a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if it's a church that's under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and if it's a church that's being ordered by the word of the Lord, it'll be a church that will say, God said it and I believe it and I'm going in and taking it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now that's the church of the living God. And that's the kind of spiritual power that the world is looking for. The world on the outside doesn't want to have anything to do with a Christian that says, I be not able to do the very simple thing which God said I could. Who wants that kind of a religion? Who wants that kind of a Jesus? The reason that the world is not coming to Jesus in droves is that they've never seen the real Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When Jesus was walking the shores of Galilee, yes, there were enemies. Yes, there were those that were against Him. But the Bible says the multitudes followed after Him.
Hallelujah.
The crowds came after Him in such numbers that He could not stand on the seashore. They pushed Him and pressed Him to get more of the food that He had to offer. And He had to take a boat and go out into the water so that He could teach the people. That's the power of God in a man or in a woman. People want to see Jesus. People want to see believers. People want to see the power of God at work. People want to know the real. Not the figment of somebody's imagination, but the real power of God at work. Just because the majority brings in a report does not make it so. If it is contradictory to the Word of God, it's not so. I don't care how strong the majority is. If you have the Word of God on your side, you stand because God will stand with you. And if God has made a promise unto you and you will act and respond to that promise by faith, you will have the land that God's given you. Now I want to show you something about this land of Canaan. And I want to bring this to us today. There are those that would say, well, this land of Canaan is a type of heaven. And God has given us wonderful promises. And when we get to heaven, that's like going into the promised land. But let me tell you something about the land of Canaan. This land of Canaan is not a type of heaven. It's not heaven at all. Because in heaven there are no sons of Anak. In heaven there are no fearful giants. In heaven there are no enemies. In heaven there are no dangers. In heaven there is no fear. This land of Canaan is not a type of the heavenly kingdom. It's a type of the promise of God, the eternal inheritance that God has given to us in Christ Jesus in this life.
Hallelujah.
Right here today. God says, go into the promised land. Take what I've given you. I've given you salvation. I've given you a brand new life. I've given you deliverance from the bondage of the enemy. I've given you peace in your mind. I've given you power and ability to do the works of Jesus. Go ye up and possess it.
Hallelujah.
That's the promised land. It's not up there, it's here. It's here. Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Over in Timothy, Paul said that godliness is profitable for the things which now are, as well as those which are to come. Jesus said in the 10th chapter of Mark that no man has given up houses or lands or wives or children for my sake and the gospel's, but what it will be restored for him 100-fold when? Now, in this lifetime, and eternal life in the hereafter. Yes, there's a wonderful, glorious reward that awaits you in heaven if you're a child of God. Yes, it is more glorious than anything you've ever seen. And if the clusters of grapes in this promised land take two men to carry, up there it'll take a band of angels to carry them. I mean, it's going to be better than anything you can even conceive. Paul said that the mind of man has never conceived those promises that await them that love God. But the land of Canaan, the land that God promised to his children, Israel, is a type of the promised land that we're to have now. Now, something I want to share with you that is important to us, I think, in understanding how can we enter this promised land? How can we, as children, heirs of the promises, heirs having a right to the inheritance of that which God has given us in Christ Jesus, how can we make that real? How can we go ahead and take that which God has given? Now, there's a very interesting analogy here, and I think we need to see this. I shared with you the scripture that God had given the promised land to the children of Israel. Do you understand that it had already been given to them? They didn't have to buy it. They didn't have to earn it. They didn't have to work for it. There were no further arrangements to be made. God had made a gift of this wonderful land flowing with milk and honey, where all of their needs would be met and where they could live at peace. He had made that as a gift to his children. But they did not have it until they went in and possessed it, did they? They didn't have it until they went in and took it. God told Joshua, every place that your foot goes down, every place your foot goes down, that's the land I give to you. And if my foot doesn't go down over there, then that land doesn't belong to me. Wherever your foot goes down, Joshua, that land is the land I give to you. You go on in and possess it. Go in and take it. We have a part to play. We have to receive and possess God's blessing. How do we do that? Our brother was sharing with us this morning as he was praying how we do that. We do that by faith. By unbelief, these people lost the promise. Because they were unwilling to obey God and believe God, they lost the promise that God had made. And we lose God's promise today for the same reason. If you will not believe God to minister salvation unto you, you'll not experience the new birth. If you will not believe God laid the chastisement of our peace upon Jesus Christ and take his peace, you'll not have his peace. If you'll not believe that the baptism in the Holy Ghost is for you with the evidence of speaking in other tongues and do so, then you'll not have it. You can seek it for 40 years. But you will receive it the day you possess it. Go on in and take it. That's the way God's blessings come. We must possess them. Amen. All right, now, how do we go about doing that? I want us to think now about our own individual situations. There are some of you here this morning that would like to have healing in your body and have not been able to receive it. You know God's given it to you. You know that it's part of the promised land, but you can't have it manifest. There are those of you who believe that God has promised you something or other, but yet the devil is trying to steal it from you. There are those of you who have heard from God about a certain thing, but yet you're unable to have a manifestation in your life. Part of the promised land. Step number one, don't send out any spies. Did you hear what I said? Don't bother sending out any spies. If God has already spoken it to you, don't check it out. Why not? I guarantee you by experience and by the Word of God that if you send the feelers and the spies out, there will be that many devils there to feed them all the reasons why you can't have what God told you you can have. When you send spies out, God's not going to send back information by those spies. The devil will send it back. You go out and you talk to this person and talk to that person. You talk to this one and talk to that one. And listen to this radio, read this book. Gather all of this information. Well, what's it really like over there in that property? Is there really good fruit over there? Is it really going to be like God promised? If you begin to search for your information in the realm of the senses and in the realm of the circumstances and in the realm of the natural, you're going to run head smack dab into the devil and all of his hosts, and he's going to fill your mind with so many evil reports that you'll never have God's blessing in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? You must get this. You just absolutely must get this down here. You got to have it down here if you're going to walk in the Spirit of God. If you're going to have the promises that God's given you. Number one, do not send any spies out. Don't consult with a lot of people. Well, God told me this, I think. What do you think? I don't know how many folks have said to me at one time or another, well, I wonder what God wants about thus and so. And I'll say, well, have you asked the Lord? Well, no, I hadn't talked to him about it. Well, ask him. He'll tell you. He wants you to know. Don't send your spies out. Satan will give them answers. You're acting in unbelief. Get God's word on it. Go to the Bible and go to prayer and find out what God has to say. You know, there's something very interesting in this story. Do you know how many witnesses there were that brought back the good report? Two. It doesn't take a multitude. Paul said that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall my word be established. If you got two witnesses on it, you got it. There were two, Caleb and Joshua. You can have two also if your heart's open. You can have the word of God and you can have the Spirit of God witnessing in your heart. That's two. That's Caleb and that's Joshua. And if you've got those two witnesses, you go on in and take the land. You go do it. Don't wait for any more reports, because anything, the rest of what you get is likely to be from the devil. Listen to God, not to the majority. Then lastly, go. Move. Act on what God has told you. Once he's told you what to do, go do it. The Lord is there to help you. Now, he didn't say there wouldn't be any giants, but he said the giants will not hurt you because I'm there to help you. That's what he said. And while all these folks came back and they said, gee, but it was so awful because we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. What they didn't know that in God's sight, those giants are grasshoppers. Hallelujah. Amen. There isn't any giant that's any bigger than God. It doesn't matter how big the problem looks to you. To God, that problem is this big. They're grasshoppers in the sight of God. So go on in. Go on in and take that which God has given you. He's given it freely. He's given his promise that he'll drive the enemies out before you. Go on in and take it. God's promised you prosperity and health and peace. But if you listen to the majority report, the majority will tell you, well, God didn't really mean that. Or they'll say, well, that was for the old times. That's not for today. Or they'll say, well, that just doesn't really make sense. Or they'll say, boy, you're really off on a whack. That's the kind of majority report you get. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the Spirit of God in your heart. And when you've got that assurance and that confirmation, when Caleb and Joshua both speak, then you go on in and take the land which God's given you. The poor children of Israel by unbelief, finally and ultimately suffered death. The spies were in the land for 40 days before they returned. God said, for 40 years, you'll wander in the wilderness until such time as everybody has died, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua. Once they rebelled at God because of unbelief and operated in unbelief rather than in faith, God's promise was forever lost unto them. And it was given unto a completely new generation who would believe God. Now, the promises of God can be lost in your life if you will operate in unbelief. Believe God. Trust in His Word. If He says something, you believe it and act on it. It doesn't matter what the world says. I don't care if the majority of your Christian brothers and sisters are in opposition to it. If God's Word tells you to do something, you go do it. You take the land that God has given unto you. That's the Word of the Lord for us this morning. The majority report is not always right. If it's in contradiction to the Word of God, it is an evil report. You listen to the good report. Listen to the Word of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your covenant with us, which tells us that you can and will speak directly to us. We thank you, Father, for your covenant with us, which guarantees unto us salvation, prosperity, healing, peace, and a complete deliverance and redemption from the curse of the law. I thank you, Father, that the land that you have promised unto your children is truly and absolutely a land which flows with milk and honey and with fat fruit. And I thank you also, Lord, that the land is not all that easy to enter into, lest someone would stumble in by unbelief. But the land that you have given unto your children is to be taken by faith in you. I thank you, Father, for your promise that as we act in faith, as we confess the power of God, as we confess that the Lord is with us, who can be against us? As we confess that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we confess I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As we confess that with God nothing is impossible. As we confess that we are the righteousness of Christ of God in Christ Jesus, as we confess our place in you, you walk right ahead of us, Father. You drive the enemies out of our way so that we need not be battling enemies, but walking on into the land of promise with our hands lifted high, worshiping and praising and singing songs unto Almighty God our Father. Songs of victory and joy and rejoicing and praise as we take that which you have given unto us freely and bought for us by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Father, for all that you have done for us, we thank you. We praise you. We thank you for what you've shown us this morning, Lord, that we're to stand with you and the Word. We're to stand against.